Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Startup Sales. This is going to be a really cool episode where we've got Devang Agrawal, and I apologize, I'm going to mess up that name for everybody that's listening here. But he has worked at Apple and a few other places that he has a lot of experience, and he's going to come in representing his company and talking to us about AI and sales. It's going to be really neat. It's really interesting because this is always a big topic, but he definitely comes with the experience. So let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Startup Sales Podcast, where we dive into the world of sales and marketing. Join us as we interview founders and industry experts, uncovering their successes and failures in the market. Get valuable insights and learn from their experiences to boost your own sales strategies. And now, a word from this episode's sponsor. Are you tired of struggling to reach your sales targets? We believe in you get what you pay for. That's why you pay only for the leads you get. Introducing Startup Sales, the leading growth hacking agency that guarantees meetings with your prospects. With our proven strategies, we'll bring you between 15 to 30 qualified prospects every month. And here's the best part, it's risk-free. You only pay us upon success. Don't let your competitors get ahead. Let Startup Sales supercharge your sales pipeline today. Visit us at startupsales.io. Startup Sales, your ultimate growth hacking partner.
Devang, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I was actually listening to it on my commute to work this morning, so really excited to be here.
Thank you. And I apologize in advance, I'm going to butcher your name, so please bear with me on that one.
That's okay. You're doing better than most people, I can definitely say that.
Good. All right, so Devang, can you give everybody listening a little bit about your history, who you are, what experience you have?
Sure, yeah. So I started my career at Apple working on the Siri team, and then I moved on to work at Google DeepMind. I think I've worked as an AI researcher for most of my life, working with some of the best people in this space. And now I want to use all of this experience and expertise that I've learned over the years and bring it to the world of B2B sales. I'm kind of a complete outsider to this space in some sense. When I started Glyphic, I didn't have any background in sales or even that many commercial things. So I bring in this sort of fresh outside perspective, and I'm very excited to see how AI will change how we do B2B sales.
Perfect. Can you give us, like, you know, in the 10-second, 30-second pitch on what Glyphic AI does?
Yeah, definitely. So what Glyphic does is we help you build and sell something that people want. So we are super inspired by this, by Paul Graham's build something that people want. And we want to give companies the tools to build, but also sell the things that people want. And
Using AI.
Using AI. Yes, that's right. AI. Yes.
All right. So you're early in your journey with Glyphic AI. How early are you guys? Where does your traction stand so far?
Yeah, we are super early. Till now, we have focused mostly on the product and figuring out all the AI components and our technology stack. And only we were working mainly with design partners still quite recently, and now we have started focusing on traction more seriously this quarter. So for now, we have maybe around 10 or so paying customers, but a lot more customers who are in pilots where we have very good feedback from.
Interesting. What have you learned on the sales side so far from getting those 10 clients and probably half a dozen or more bad calls that have happened?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I think definitely one of my biggest learnings has been that we should have probably gone in and focused on selling even earlier. I think we came in with a very, very product mindset where we focused on building. And I think maybe we shied away from selling till, you know, some of the components were a bit more perfect. But I feel we could have been much more aggressive about our sales and more proactively reaching out to prospects much earlier than we did.
I think that's what I hear from almost every founder is we should have started earlier. But absolutely. I'm curious from your perspective, why should you have started earlier? Is it because you want more traction earlier so you could get to the next round, or was it another reason?
No, I think much more about the validation part. I think we built in maybe some of the features that we built, we might have built in isolation for too long, and we didn't. We had them validated with a few design partners, but I don't think we had validated them with a wider market in the way that we should have. And I think that's what I think the real key in a startup is, getting this early validation with your users and customers and using that to grow your, to understand where you need to be. And I feel we could have done that a bit better, but we are now fully focused on that. So I'm really excited.
So the design partners that you have or had, mm-hmm. Where have you found that you draw the line between listening to them 100% and doing everything that they say or suggest versus, okay, I need to still validate this with the market?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. I think it's kind of listening to what design partners are saying, validating it with the market, but also following our vision of how we see this space evolving. So that's always a tension between all three of those. And I think because AI is such a new technology, I think we don't really understand fully what the interfaces would be. How will this information that is, how will AI be truly used within sales teams? And I don't think even design partners or full market validation can fully get you there. I think you need to sometimes build something for people, show it to them, and only then they fully appreciate where you're getting at.
Be the visionary. So
I wouldn't go that far, but I think especially with AI, right, people have such different notions of what AI is capable of and what it's not capable of. So it's very, so it can be quite challenging sometimes to really balance that with what they want in the product and being able to both manage expectations on something, manage expectations down. But with AI, I guess in some things we've almost had to manage expectations up, because people were maybe still thinking in the old world of, hey, I just want a keyword tracker or something, right? But what we're telling them now is, you know what, like we are way beyond keyword trackers, and we can now fully understand all of these conversations you're having at scale and give you insights across all of them, not just doing keyword tracking.
So it's interesting what you just said, because I know a lot of times that people, I've heard it myself from some of the companies I help, a lot of times when you go and bring to people a product that says, hey, we're using AI, a lot of people have a negative viewpoint on that, because their experience has been with the older kind of versions of AI where it wasn't as well polished as it is now, even though it was like only a year back. you know, as funny as that sounds, things move so quickly. But how do you manage that and how do you handle that?
Yeah, I think AI has completely changed. I think we had this sort of slow burning of AI where we were making incremental progress every year till kind of mid last year, let's say like kind of mid May 22 or something like that, right? Where we were making slow and steady progress within AI. But I think people till then had bad experiences with AI, that's for sure. But I think with large language models, suddenly what was possible with AI completely changed, and our calibrations of what was possible with AI just are no longer valid, because it's just this, the capabilities of this technology have completely changed. And I've even seen that in myself and Adam, my co-founder Adam, who we've spent our entire career as AI researchers, and even we often underestimate the power of these large language models, sometimes feeling that, oh, that there's no way that you could, that this would be possible with AI, but actually when we try it out, it's possible. And even we are amazed every day by how powerful this technology is.
So what are some of the things that you've been amazed by where AI comes into play for sales?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing for me has been being able to extract strategic insights at scale, right? So for instance, I listen to your podcast a lot, and sales leaders have made it clear that call recording is no longer optional, right? And everyone is kind of sitting, and as a result of that, right, people are sitting on these complete treasure troves of customer data, essentially, right, from all of their sales calls. There's thousands and thousands, if not millions, of hours of calls just sitting there doing nothing, right? People might coach on it, or you might, you know, listen to it in a closed and like a win-loss analysis, but fundamentally all of this really valuable data is just sitting there doing nothing. But with AI, what we've been able to do is unlock the power of this data to give you the insights that you need to really be able to build a better product for people by showing you what is it that's selling even when you have a large sales team, right? Like the fear that founders always have is, I will scale up my sales team and then I won't know what the customer is saying. But what we're saying is, you know what, now with AI, you can scale up your sales team and AI would be able to analyze all of their sales calls, and you'll still have a good understanding of what your customers want. Why are you winning deals? Why are you losing deals? And what are the reasons that you're losing these deals?
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, sorry. And that was something that surprised us, honestly. Like, we did not expect AI to be able to understand calls at this scale. I mean, these are long conversations, right? They're like, people chat for half an hour, 45 minutes in these calls. And, you know, there's chit chat, there is discovery, there is, you know, all sorts of things happening. And then being able to extract these really valuable insights out of them, even we did not expect AI to work this well on it.
So there's a tool that I use, that I upload all my, I used to do it just for my podcast and have it automatically create like bullet points of what was the learnings, what are the takeaways, and things like that. But you could also now plug in your sales calls to it and ask it, hey, what are the to-do items? What do I need to do to follow up with this person? And it will give you whatever it is that you said. Or you could ask it also, like, what were the problems and the issues that the buyer had that he explained to me? And then you could summarize it all down, and then you could actually bring in, as you just said, multiple calls. And let's say you've got 100 sales calls. You could put them all in and compile it down to a list of what are your top three pains. So it's really fascinating. I think it's cool and underutilized.
Absolutely. And I think from a pure technology perspective, I think the technology to be able to understand 100 sales calls, like maybe for the tool that you use, I'm sure, like, we've only, I mean, not that long ago, we got the capability to understand one sales call or one podcast recording, right? But I think that the leap from going from one sales call or recording into going into hundreds of them, if not thousands of them, I think that has been yet another leap of AI capabilities.
So what are some of the other things that you've seen AI do besides managing and learning from sales calls?
Yeah, I think specifically within the sales context, we feel that it's been a really great tool for empowering the sales reps. Like, we know that sales reps are spending almost half their time doing kind of non-core revenue generating activities, right? So, you know, like things like CRM entry, researching the person they're going to speak to, writing follow-up emails and things like that. And where, like, I guess a lot of what they're doing is just summarizing the call and things like that. We've seen that with AI, like the some of the most forward-thinking sales teams have managed to cut down this time by a lot and manage to extract much more revenue per rep by automating as many things that are sort of non-core sales activities so that the reps can really focus on what they do best, which is, and what they enjoy as well, right? Like all the reps are kind of like, I want to jump on a call with a person. I want to close them. No one's saying, hey, I want to focus my time on CRM entry or, you know, like researching things about the company, things like that. And I feel some of the most forward-looking teams have recognized that and used AI to automate all of those things for them and given reps all of this time back so they can, again, focus on doing what they do best.
Having the conversations and closing deals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, it leads to also happier reps, right? Because I mean, you know, your reps are no longer, your reps can focus on doing what they really want to do. And then just they're happier, they're closing more deals, and you probably reduce your churn of reps as well.
good sales reps are super hard to come by.
Exactly.
Sure. All right. And how are you using AI yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really great for us as well because we just fully pilot our own product, right? All of our sales are run using Glyphic Copilot, which is our Copilot for sales teams. And then it's been really incredible to be using it. I think we use it a lot for handovers, for instance. So like me and my co-founder Adam, we do a lot of deals together, like some of the larger deals, we handle them together, and then sometimes I bring in Adam into a deal or Adam brings me into a deal. And then just being able to use AI to fully understand the state of the deal and being able to also kind of identify what are the missing elements in the deal has been really big, both time saver, but has also improved our effectiveness, right? Like we've kind of been able to realize that we've been talking for, like this is our sixth call, but we still haven't discovered, like, you know, any decision-making authority or budget, right? It's so easy to pat yourself on the back and have five pleasant conversations into a company. But when you kind of like really start breaking down all the information you have, and then you realize actually what you need to do to make to close that deal.
I think that's a major point, and that's something that I think people should really pay attention to. Because I'll give an example. One of my teams I had like 2 years ago, I had a rep that was super good at building connections with people and having talk and just talking with people. And he would come off of a call, like you said, have five, six calls. He felt so positive about it, but he would never close deals. But he was best friends with everybody, but they would never close deals because he never was able to actually move the conversation along from that friendly side to the business side. And so having something like this showing you, hey, here's a red flag, you're missing this, you need to go back.
Absolutely.
That's powerful.
And I would just like to stress again that this has become possible only in the last few months, really, like with the technology to be able to understand not just one sales call, but all of your calls and emails and deal to be able to kind of understand if pricing has been discussed so far or if you truly understand the decision-making process. That's not something you could have done with last gen technology. It's only become enabled by large language models.
When do you think that the AI will be able to understand tonality?
So that's the one place where I manage expectations down a little bit. I think tonality is very, very challenging to understand properly because I think you can build a nice looking demo, but I think where you know you'd have one person whose tonality AI would be able to understand, but being able to do it at scale, that's what I don't think we are there yet, because people are so different, right? People can intonate differently for different reasons, and being able to kind of say and really pinpoint why that tonality is important for your sales process, I think that's really challenging for AI to do still.
That's why you need the good salesperson.
That's why you need the good. And that's exactly what you said, right? That, you know, the sales rep that you were talking about, he was great at building connections. I'm sure he could read body language and understand tonality and all of those things as well. It's just that these sort of more process-driven things, like, you know, like all the med picking and all of the discovering buying processes and budgets, maybe those were the things where he needed help, and a great sales leader could potentially coach him on this, but they all don't have the full time and capacity to be able to do that. And that's where I think AI can really help this person continue focusing on building connections, but just slightly guide him or her into also following the process into closing the deal.
It's like always having, I don't know, I want to say senior or manager, but it's not necessarily that. It's because even no matter how experienced you are, you always sometimes need an external input to kind of, yeah, hey, you're missing this or you're missing this. So I think AI is that, and it doesn't raise anybody's alarms or get anybody upset, like, and get ego involved. So I like it.
Absolutely, right? It's just your co-pilot. I guess that's the co-pilot. That's why everyone's talking about co-pilots now. But I do really think that AI will really, like, I mean, obviously we are focused on sales and maybe a little bit on customer success, but I feel like I'm really inspired when Microsoft and Satya Nadella are talking about co-pilots much more widely in the sales, in the workplace. And I really do believe that these co-pilots will transform how people work and sort of be able to focus on doing things that they really enjoy and automating things that they don't.
Is there a fear, I mean, as things stand now, of having reps rely too much on AI?
That's a really, really good question. I think I'll give you an example. One conversation, I actually forgot to take my Glyphic Copilot on, and I did really struggle afterwards to remember whatever all of the action items, and even later down the line, to be honest, when we were doing a deal analysis and trying to figure out if we had discovered budget and stuff, we were like, all the other conversations we had, we were like, oh, that one conversation where we have a black spot, and did we discuss budget there or not? I think, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I can see myself getting very, very reliant on my co-pilot right now, but I think it's definitely a risk.
So, I mean, because it sounds to me, I mean, I'm really positive on this, and I think this is the way that it should be. But at the same time, if all you're doing is trying to go along and check the boxes of the co-pilot, you're not actually having a conversation with the client.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's why we've, like, at least at Glyphic, we've shied away a little bit from sort of on the call assistance, because I feel then it makes the conversation a bit more scripted, right? But I think much more, you know, like, you kind of feel, I mean, exactly as you said, right? Like, if you make the conversation into this box ticking exercise, I don't think anyone will enjoy it at all. but I think, yeah, that's why I feel the real value is kind of using AI to point out the gaps that are there in a deal, but still giving the reps the flexibility and power to do what they want to do and run the conversations how they want to run, as long as they make sure that they are aware of the exit criteria and they are aware of the information that's missing for them to close a deal. And actually, you asked me early on as well. That's actually another learning in our early sales process, where we probably also had. I mean, we were both technical co-founders, and we didn't have that much background in sales or either, right? And we spent maybe too much of our early sales calls with no structure or no kind of not moving, having very good conversations, but not moving them towards closing. And actually, as we have expanded use of our own Copilot within our sales cycles, but also hired a really good, I think humans are still very important here, obviously, because we've, like, a lot of this came from hiring a very good sales coach for ourselves as well, and like a sort of sales mentor who's been helping us design our process. But then what AI really enabled us to do was go from that process being written on a piece of paper, well, or a PDF document or Notion document, whatever you like to use, into actually something that is embedded day after day into our process by reminding us of not just the process is not just written on in your PDF document, but it's also embedded into our daily workflow so that we know and are reminded of the fact that what we need to do to move a deal forward and how we should be moving towards closing.
Interesting conversation. I think it's something that everybody should be trying. Everybody should be using AI. I mean, you brought up a lot of good points on why and everything. Can you explain a little bit, go a little bit more in depth about Glyphic AI, so if people are interested, they could learn more?
Yeah, definitely. I think, as I kind of said earlier, our main aim at Glyphic is to help companies build and sell tools that people want. So we do it in three main ways. The first is we analyze all of your sales calls to give you strategic insights so that you know exactly why are people buying your tool and why are people dropping out of your pipeline, giving you these very deep conversational insights at scale across your pipeline. That's one of the main ways we help. The second is by automating as many workflows of the rep as possible. We've seen that reps who use Glyphic get 20% more, that teams that use Glyphic, their reps, they're getting 20% more revenue per rep than teams who don't, because of all of these automations that they can now, that is freeing up more time for the reps to spend on selling. And the third thing is, after we have extracted the insights, also feeding them back to the reps before every sales call and kind of driving this behavior change and making sure that they are always aware of what do they need to do to make sure a deal keeps moving forward. And we do that by not only analyzing all the previous calls and giving them insights from that, but also using publicly available data on the internet about the company they're speaking to, about the people they're speaking to help just make that a little bit easier for them.
And where could people go to find out more about Glyphic AI or reach out to you as well?
Yeah, so you can go to glyphic.ai to find out more about us, or you can email me directly on devang@glyphic.ai.
That's GLYPHIC.
That's
for all those dyslexic people like me. Great, Devang, thanks so much for jumping on the call with us today.
Thanks a lot, Adam, and been a real pleasure chatting with you.
Likewise. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Startup Sales with Adam Springer. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Contact Adam about speaking engagements or consulting services at adam@startupsales.io.